Hello and welcome to this video tutorial brought to you by Tutvid.com. Today we're going to take a quick look, well maybe not a quick look, it's going to take us probably about 20 minutes if I had to take a guess, to create these sort of wavy rollovers. Now these are, it's a pretty cool effect. Here's the effect. I'm going to hit Control Enter, that'd be Command Return on the Mac to preview the file. When I roll over the button you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Very nice. Roll out, it stops. Beautiful. We start by going File, New. And we're going to create a new Flash file, Flash ActionScript 3. Now, to use ActionScript 3, you just want to make sure that you're using Flash CS3 or newer. Anything older than that just doesn't have ActionScript 3, so you really won't be able to do that. So we're going to create our new file. And here we go with our new file. I'm going to create one new layer right off the bat, and I'm going to name it Actions. And I'm going to double-click the other layer and name it Button. Now, this button, I'm going to grab the Rectangle Primitive tool. Now, the Rectangle Primitive tool is located beneath the regular rectangle tool. If you click and hold the rectangle tool, a flyout menu appears. Select rectangle primitive tool. We're going to shift click out a rounded rectangle. By the way, the rectangle primitive tool is new to, I believe it was Flash CS3. It may be in Flash 8. No, I don't think it's in Flash 8. I think it's new to CS3. Before that, you could just set your rounded edges on your rectangles. I believe there was a rounded rectangle tool. Matter of fact, if I recall correctly, don't have that info right at my fingertips, and I certainly don't remember. So here I have my rectangle primitive shape. And here in CS4, you have a slider to adjust your rounded edges. In CS3, we have just these series of four sort of input fields where we can input the number. I'm going to go with about 75 here. That's looking pretty good. Next up, I'm going to select a fill color for this rounded rectangle. We're going to go with a medium gray. That fill color is going to get covered with a picture in just a minute, but I'm just putting it there just so I can be sure that I have a stroke on this rounded rectangle. If you don't have a stroke, you can simply grab the ink bottle tool, which is located under the paint bucket tool. The ink bottle tool, hotkey, by the way, is S. The ink bottle tool, and just click anywhere near the edge of your shape. Click around the edge of your shape, and it will stroke that said shape with whatever your stroke color is. Wonderful. I'm going to hit V to go back to my selection tool. I'm going to select that rounded rectangle. Hit F8 to convert it to a symbol. I'm going to set my registration point to the center. That's just for spacing and positioning purposes later on. Now I'm going to name this guy MC Button. You may want to do that if you're following along, just so you know you're dealing with the same numbers I am, you know, approximately. I'm going to hit OK. And we have our button. I'm going to double click into this button. However, before I do that, we're going to give it an instance name. We're going to call it Button_MC. I'm going to double click this button to get inside of it, and I'm going to create two new layers, and only one new layer. And I'm going to drag layer one up on top. This is going to be our mask. So I'm going to double click this layer and just name it mask. And I'm going to click this layer on the bottom, and I'm going to name it frog. And I'm going to drag that frog in. I'm just going to make sure I have that frog layer selected. And we're going to go file, import, import to stage, and we're going to double click here on this file, frog face. It's going to import it onto the layer we have selected, as you see, and it is beneath our mask. That's fine. I'm going to drag it. I'm actually going to set the mask to outline, so I'm going to click that green square, so now we can sort of see a rounded edge of our mask. I'm going to set the frog up here, make sure he's big enough, and he isn't quite, so I'm going to hit Q to bring up my free transform handles. I'm going to hold down Shift and Alt, click and drag him out a little to make him a little bigger. There we go. And hit V to go back to my regular selection tool. Now I'm going to right-click on that mask layer, and let me drag my timeline up a little bit so you can see what I'm doing here. I'm going to drag the timeline up, right-click on the mask layer, and hit Mask. Now I can unlock the frog layer if I like. I really don't need to, but because I've set my mask to outline mode, it's not going to be there to bother me. This is important here because I'm going to create a new layer which is unlocked, and if I set that mask back to being a filled shape, you can see it covers up the frog. I want to be able to see the frog so I can see how high my waves are, you know, in proximity to the content of my button or the image here in my button. Basically, where are the waves going to be covering the frog's face? So I'm going to double click that layer, and I'm going to hit wave 1, or I'm going to name it wave 1, I should say, and we're going to begin drawing a wave. This is where it gets tricky, and you really want to try to do exactly what I do. You know, don't stress yourself out over it or anything, but you know, the closer you can follow what I'm doing, the more like me your results will be. But even every time I do this kind of effect, it comes out slightly differently. That's just the way it is. So I'm going to click somewhere off the bottom left-hand corner of my shape with the pen tool. I'm going to click and hold shift and just drag out straight to the right, maybe about that far, approximately, and let go. Now when you let go, it looks like you've done nothing. Nothing's there. You can't see an anchor point. You don't see any drawing or anything. Don't worry, there is an anchor point hidden there. Now come up above the top right corner of the rounded rectangle and click again and drag to the right holding shift. And you can see that there was in fact an anchor point down there. He was just hiding out. And let go. Now, it is important that you have black set as your stroke color. I probably should have told you that a moment ago, but you probably did if you used the ink bottle tool earlier. I certainly have mine set to black. If you have yours set to black, you will have a black stroked line, which you can select with the regular selection tool. If your selection tool doesn't select it all in one shot as one big line, just simply double click it. It's no big deal. I'm going to drag it over here so we can, you know, just see the whole line. I'm going to hit Command or Control C to copy it and Command Shift or Control Shift V to paste it in place. Now we basically have two copies of this S curve, right, stacked one on top of the other. I'm going to go Modify, Transform, Flip Horizontal. I'm going to drag it to the right holding Shift until those two top edges of my stroke meet up. I'm going to deselect, and now if I double click this stroke, you can see it selects the whole thing because it started to basically merge up there. You know, Flash knows it's the same color and it's similar, so it's going to link them together. I'm going to grab my line tool now and click around the bottom left hand point of this line, and the line tool automatically snaps to that anchor point. I'm going to drag it over to the right hand side and it's going to snap to that anchor point as well. We now have a closed shape that we can fill with black. So I'm going to click on my ink bottle tool here just to get back to my paint bucket tool. You can just get to the paint bucket tool however you like. In the older versions of Flash, it was tucked in with the gradient tool. So just get that and set your fill color to black. Fill that shape with black, and I'm just going to click once in the shape and drag that big mountain out of it and double click the stroke and get rid of it. We have the mountain slash wave shape we need right here. Now this shape, what I want to do, the reason I'm zooming out is because I want to get a good look at this shape, and I want to both position the shape and size the shape in such a way that's going to make it easy for me to tween it to an exact number of pixels. So basically, I want to be able to take this guy and be able to, you know what exactly how much exactly I need to move him across the stage or back across the stage, you know, what the X and Y coordinates are, depending on the width of this shape. So it's not as complicated as I just made it sound. I know it probably sounds like you have to be a math genius, and if that were the case, well, I wouldn't be doing this. So I'm going to select this, and first thing I'm going to do is try setting my X to 0, because that's a pretty easy to remember number, 0. That looks pretty good. And I'm going to set the Y to 10, because that also is a pretty easy to remember number. That does not look so good, but I also have to remember that the Y is being judged off the top of this mountain. So I want to lower the mountain, reduce the height of the mountain. So I'm going to come to the height. I'm going to set this to about 120. There we go. Y at 10 now suddenly looks much better. So we're going to leave the Y at 10, X at 0, width at 120, the height at 120. We're going to set the width to, let's try 900. That looks perfect. Lovely. So I'm going to reselect this, just double check, and you can see that it's sort of tweaked on us. So we're going to set the X to 0 and the Y to 900, and deselect it again, reselect it, and there we go. The numbers have stayed constant. Now here's another important part. When we convert this to a movie clip, hit F8 to convert it to a symbol, type movie clip. We're going to name it MC Wave Base. Now the registration point is important. You can't go back and change the registration point later, but for the purposes of tweening this, positioning it, we want to set a registration point to the top left corner. So we're going to hit OK. There we go. Top left corner it is. Now, note our X and Y values stay the same. If we had set a registration point anywhere else, the X and Y values would have changed pretty drastically. So now what I want to do is duplicate this layer and name it Wave 2. Well, I didn't actually duplicate the layer. I just created a new layer. But I'm going to copy this shape, Command or Control C, come up to Wave 2, and just hit Command or Control V. It doesn't matter if I paste it in place, because remember, we have those really easy to remember X and Y positions. But really, I don't want this to appear right on top of the shape. I want it to appear right behind the shape. Our waves are going to be going across the screen that way, over toward the left. So this guy has to be to the right of our original mountain shape. So I want to set his X. Remember, the width of these is 900, so if I set the X to 900, it's going to align him exactly with that edge. Again, the X can just be 10. And there we go. We've lined that shape up perfectly. Now we need to tween these as if they were connected right across the bottom of our little button. So I'm going to come out here to frame 45. I'm going to hit F5 to fill it out with frames. And I'm going to select both of these keyframes, hold down my Alt or Option key, click and drag over. Drop on frame 45. We've duplicated those keyframes. I'm going to select my first mountain shape, and if I Subtract 900 from 0, that gives me negative 900. Moves that shape on over like it's supposed to be. And I'm going to select wave 2 here, out on the keyframe on frame 45. I'm going to set the X here to 0. So now if we select in between those keyframes, right-click and hit Classic Tween. By the way, we're using Classic Tween here in Flash CS4. In any other version of Flash, this is going to be the Motion Tween. But the Motion Tween in CS4 has changed a bit. It's become a lot more powerful. And we're not going to get into that right now. We're going to stick with the classic, good old-fashioned, what the rest of you non-CS4 users would call Motion Tween. So there we go. We've got our nice little Classic Tween happening. And it's very nice. I'm going to come out here to frame 90 now and hit F9 again. Before we actually get out to frame 90, we just need to duplicate these frames, these keyframes, and move them over one frame, just like that. Now, what I need to do is take this mountain here to the left and bring it back over behind this mountain here sitting on the right. So I need to select him and set his X to 900 to move him all the way over where the other guy started. Because now this whole thing needs to slide back through just the way that it initially slid through. See that? It slides through. Then when it gets to frame 45, it jumps ahead one frame, and it's ready to go through again. And as long as this keeps repeating, it creates a seamless loop, or at least the illusion of a seamless loop. So I'm going to select both of these keyframes, click and drag them, drop them on frame 90, and slide both of these guys over, just like we did initially. So select this first one, set the X to negative 900. Select the second one, set the X to 0. Highlight some frames in between those keyframes on both layers. Right-click, create Classic Tween or Motion Tween for those of you not using CS4. And let's just hit Command Return. It'll be Control Enter on the PC to preview what we have. You can see there's Mountain 1, Mountain 2, Mountain 1 again, Mountain 2 again, and here comes Mountain 1 again and Mountain 2. And it's a seamless loop. I could go on all night, but you would probably shut the video off if I did that. So let's get back to work in here and duplicate these waves and make this thing a little bit more interesting. So what I'm going to do is create a new layer above frames, waves 1 and 2, and I'm going to name it Wave 3. A very descriptive and creative name, as you can see. Now what I'm going to do is select all of these frames here with all the tweens and keyframes, and I'm going to right-click on them and hit Copy Frames. Now, you might be thinking, hey, you're copying two layers worth of frames. Why are you doing that and putting them onto one layer? It's going to mess us up. Well, no, it's not, because Flash is smart enough to know that I only have one layer there and I need help and I need another layer. So when I paste those frames, Flash delivers and gives me a little bit of help. I'm actually going to name this guy Wave 3, and the layer on top I'm going to name Wave 4. If I had been thinking ahead about that, I would have done that in the first place, but there we go. So now we have an exact duplicate of that happening. Now before we do anything, we want to lock up waves 1 and 2, and we want this second set of waves to sit a little bit lower. Probably the fastest way to come in here and do this is just come in here and just select each keyframe, hold down shift, and select the down arrow key. I actually want to zoom into 100% before I do this. So here I am with these two. I'm on the first keyframe. I'm going to hit shift down twice. And select the other keyframe with the other mountain shape, hit shift down twice, go to the next set of keyframes, shift down twice, grab the other keyframe, there we go, shift down twice, move ahead, shift down twice, and so on and so forth. We're just going to shift down twice, and here's the last one right here, shift down twice. So now basically what we've just done, basically what we've just done is just lowered this entire set of mountains. Now it doesn't look like we've done anything yet, but you're really going to see a difference in just a minute. I'm just going to select all these extra layers which have mysteriously been added on there. So right click, remove frames, and right click, remove frames. There we go. Now I'm going to select all of these frames in here, like so. And I'm going to right click on them and hit reverse frames. Now, when I play through this, basically what's happening is these mountains are coming in from the left. The other mountains are coming in from the right. Lovely. I love it. That's exactly what I want. This is the tricky part of it. Now that we've done this, it's all smooth sailing from here. Next up, because we have finished the animation, we can just select any one of these shapes. They're all connected to the same symbol, or they're all referencing the same symbol. So I'm just going to double-click one of them, and I'm going to convert this to a symbol. So I'm going to hit F8, and I'm going to name this MC Wave Inner. Okay. And I'm actually going to double click inside of this movie clip. I'm going to convert this to white. I don't know if I'm still on screen or not. There we go. I've converted it to white. I'm going to double click to get back to MC Wave Inner. This is not where we have the animation. And I'm going to come over here to my properties panel and come to the color effects section. In any other version of Flash, this would be down in the properties bar. And you're going to hit the drop down or pop up menu and choose alpha and set the alpha to 35. That's exactly what I want right there. Now I'm going to double click back out of this, back to the layer where we have everything animated. And you can see we have these nice, what look like panes of glass sliding through. Now, I'm going to test this real quick. Control Enter, Command Return on the Mac. It looks good and everything, but it's a little too uniform for me. It's just, you know, even though we lowered the one a little bit, it still looks too uniform. So I'm going to select waves 4 and waves 3. I'm going to select those 4 keyframes in the center there. I'm just going to drag them over to maybe about frame 30. This is really going to throw a wrench into this animation and really make it lopsided as far as being fast coming in and then slow down going out. So it's really going to throw the whole thing off a little bit to add a little element of randomness to it. So if I control enter, command return, we can see now that there's a big difference. One wave comes shooting through and then another one comes through nice and slowly. And it just really mixes it up a little bit. Matter of fact, you could even select a little bit of the animation and set a little bit of easing to add a little bit more of a randomness to it. And now that we have completed the animation aspect of this, let's code the button. This is really not going to take long at all. I'm going to create a new layer. I'm going to name this Actions. And we need to create 2 action script frames here. One at the very beginning. And let's come over here to frame 90 at the very end, hit F6. And let's come back to the one at the very beginning, hit F9 to open up the actions panel. And I'm just going to type the word stop, open and close parenthesis, and semicolon. That's what we want there. Hit F9 to close the actions panel. Select the keyframe at the very end, hit F9, and I'm going to type go to and play, open parenthesis, to, close parenthesis, semicolon. This way, when we actually set this animation to play, it's going to play through, get to the end, and it's going to go back to frame 2 and just replay. So now let's script this to actually run on rollover. So I'm going to double click, or I'm just going to hit scene 1 to get back to my root level timeline. Choose my actions frame out here. Hit F9 to bring up my actions panel. Now, if we recall, way back about 17 or 18 minutes ago, we named this movie clip button_MC. That's going to become important here because we need to say button_MC.addEventListener, and we're adding a mouse event. That's mouse and event with capital M, capital E, dot roll_over in all caps, comma, and the function we want to execute is just going to be called overF, close parenthesis, semicolon. I'm going to highlight this entire line of code and duplicate it because we want to add event listener listening for when somebody rolls out of the button as well. So we're going to switch over here to out in all caps, and the function executed is going to be outf. I'm going to hit enter return a couple times and type function. We're going to do overf, open parenthesis, the word event, a colon. It is a mouse event. Again, mouse and event with capital M and capital E. Close parenthesis, colon, void, open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket, up arrow key. Now, inside of here, we're simply going to say event.target.play, open and close parenthesis, semicolon. Sounds easy enough. We're going to duplicate this function, select the whole thing, Command or Control C, Command or Control V to paste it. Set this to out F, and we're going to say event.target dot go to and stop, and then inside of the parentheses, 1. We're going to go back to and stop on frame 1. So I'm going to hit F9, and I'm going to go control enter, command return on the Mac, and when I roll over this, there we have our wave effect happening. When I roll out, it stops. So there we go. That is how you create that glassy wave effect. Matter of fact, we can come in here because it's all packaged up nicely into that movie clip. I can come to the filters and, well, let me drag my properties panel out here so maybe you can see it. There we go. I'm just going to tap down here. Well, maybe I'll stretch it out a little bit. And I'm going to slide on down to the good old filters. going to open that up and slide down the rest of the way, hit the new filter and just throw a drop shadow underneath that. And I'm going to drag my properties panel back into here with my library. And you can see what we've got, command return, control enter. And we have a nice little button with a drop shadow, which when rolled over, it plays this kind of cool wave flowing glass churning strange rollover animation. It's actually a very cool effect. So that is how I pulled it off. That's what I did, and that's what I recommend you do if you wish to do the same. So there we go. Not too bad. Took about 20 and a half minutes to go over that, but that is a very nice way of animating buttons in Flash, and the beauty of it is once you do it once within one button, you can always just duplicate that symbol over and reuse it, so you don't have to keep reanimating that tricky part of the animation. Once you get it down pat once or twice, you're really good to go. So that's it for this one. I hope you enjoyed it, and I thank you very much for watching. And please go check out the site. That is www.tutvid.com.